Om Shanti. A very good morning and a warm welcome to today's session on Rajayoga Meditation. And we are going to have the first session today. And to take us through this, we have with us Brahma Kumari Deepa Bhenji, who is a regular faculty of several wings of the institution. We have about 20 wings. And sister is invited for various conferences, workshops, and also corporate training programs which she conducts regularly all over the country. She's been associated with Brahma Kumaris since her childhood. And with the inspiration, she's one of the fortunate few who's been inspired and who's taken direct sustenance from Brahma Baba's, the founding father's, daughter-in-law. So, Britendra Dadi, a very powerful Dadi of ours. And Deepa Ben has taken direct sustenance and inspiration to dedicate her life, 33 years, and she's been serving in various ways to individuals, counseling them, taking them to the right path, to youth, and to various organizations. She's known for her commitment and sincerity in getting the organization. I will not name the organizations here, but there's several organizations who have, from loss, they've gone to profit with the kind of spiritual sustenance that have been done for the employees, for the senior top team. The regular programs go on in several companies like BPCL, HPCL, L&T, Reliance, and many more, where regularly, ongoing since some of the organizations, sessions are going on since almost 15 to 20 years. So that's the kind of sustenance Deepa Ben has always given. And she's currently stationed at Villeparle Center, that is Mumbai, and which is the National Coordinating Office of Business Industry Wing. And she's continuing to serve many, and she's going to take us through this first step of Rajayoga Meditation, that is knowing our own spiritual identity. So over to Brahma Kumari Deepa Benji.
Om Shanti and good morning to all of you. I'm sure you must be enjoying the beautiful environment of Gyan Sarovar, the spiritual vibrations here. The morning time is very, very special here. And as maybe from yesterday you have been hearing about the experience of Rajayoga meditation, the experience of change which many individuals have brought about by making this their lifestyle, I'm sure you must be also enthusiastic to learn this meditation. Some of you would have maybe connected to our branches and maybe learnt Rajayoga meditation as a course. But we find that this beautiful experience of Rajayoga is something which needs to be made a lifestyle. So more than just learning the method of Rajayoga, we find the experience of change, the experience of empowerment comes when it becomes a lifestyle. But yet, to make it also a lifestyle, we need to know about it. And so we have this foundation 7 days meditation course, but we will be covering the important 3 topics during your stay here. Today's topic, the first topic which we talk about, the self. Since the theme is self-empowerment, this word self which is used is something which we use in our daily life. No? We say the self needs this, needs that. And whenever we use this word self, I, it is something which unconsciously is being used by us at a daily level. Yet every time when we are talking about ourselves, we more refer to our external identity, our physical identity. And maybe some of you who have been associated with the organization have maybe heard some lectures, whether it's by Shivani Ben or any other inputs. A little understanding or maybe a little familiarity with the word self, soul, spirit is there. And so we use this word a little bit sometimes. Yes, there is the soul, the energy behind the physical identity. And yet today we'll try to understand, when I talk about my own self, when I refer to my own self, what do I feel from within? So we find that maybe when we use this word I, we sometimes unconsciously are using it at the external level. But yet English also gives us the other word, my. And so whenever we have had an opportunity to talk about ourselves, like yesterday also you have met many friends of yours who have come here in this program. Now it's more like a family together, learning and having this beautiful experience together. So when you have been interacting with each other, when you have asked the introduction of someone, or maybe you have been requested to introduce yourself, we normally use the word, my name is so and so, I come from this city, I have been in the experience of work as an IT professional in this organization since so much time. These have been my special achievements. My language is this. Maybe I also speak this other languages. My religion is this. And so whenever we have introduced ourselves, we've always used the word my. Yes? My name. My role in the organization. My organization. My family. My language, my religion, my achievements. And even when we see ourselves at the physical level, again we use the word, my body. Yes? We use that? Yes? My physical identity, my body. And so we find that as soon as I truly ask myself, who am I? This question becomes thought-provoking. Do we need to know who we are? Yes? Because till now whatever we have identified ourselves is more at the physical level, which is a very, very important part of our identity, on the basis of which we can relate to the world, we can express our potential, we can add value to society, we can share experiences. But yet we find that is one part of our identity. And that is why we always use the word my name, my role, my responsibilities. But who am I? So if you ask this question to yourself, what is the answer which comes from within? Yes, as you take some time to ask yourself, it's important for us to know this. Yes, you think it's important? Yes, those who are sitting behind, at least you can just nod your heads. Yes? We would like it to be an interaction because then we can enjoy together. So you think it's important? And it will also have an impact on our daily interactions if I am able to understand the real I. Yes. It will help me to connect better, to contribute better. And so we find that when we ask ourselves, who am I? What is the response which comes from within? Yes, what do you feel? Physical eye, yeah. Physical eye sees this physical costume, this physical body, which is very, very important. And because it is important, it has become a part of our daily life. So we find that we have these two aspects of our life. One is our inner self, our innate being, our innate self, and the other is our acquired self. And at a daily level, we are much more accustomed to connect with the acquired self, you know, because we are seeing that, we talk about that. We are daily, morning to night, we are involved with that, engaged with that. Our roles, our responsibilities, and even in the family, then we have again different responsibilities there. And so throughout the day, we are so engaged with our acquired self. And it's important. And yet we understand that there is this innate self which is with the acquired self. Yes? Yes? Our mind, our feelings, our emotions, our personality traits. The inner being, the innate self, is with the acquired self. And yet we find that as much as we need this experience of maybe lightness, happiness, We need the experience of control in our life. We need this experience of self-empowerment, which becomes the theme, which is what we need as a natural level. Throughout the day, I feel empowered. I feel light. I feel in charge. I feel I can influence people, situations. I can respond to things. So we find to have that experience of lightness, of empowerment, of strength, which self should be the master. Both are important. We need both. We are using both. But which one should be the master? In itself? Yes? You think? You're sure? It should be the master. Yes? Why? Why should it be the master? Okay. Okay. So we find the inner self is the energy which is using this physical instrument. And whenever spiritually we have talked about the soul, the self, Atma, Shakti, we've always seen that in different, you know, religions, in different philosophies, we've talked about it as energy, eternal energy. In Gita also it is said, Ajad Amar Avinashi hai. It is living energy, it is eternal, it is immortal, it is imperishable. And so naturally it should be the master. Yet if we see today, who is the master? Who is the master? The acquired self. And the reason is something which we know very easily. Now what happens when the acquired self becomes the master? As we see in the acquired self, it's our role, our responsibilities, our achievements, our contribution, which makes this acquired self very important for us. Our belief systems, our experiences. Now we find that when that becomes the master, what happens? The acquired self is constantly changing. Yes? Changing? Your experiences today in your IT, as a leader, whatever are your achievements, maybe in a few months, change? Yes, because we have technology which is taking such a fast speed and it's, you know, really making our life easier somewhere, but also a little challenging somewhere. But yet we know that it's constantly changing. Relationships also are changing. Yes? The way we deal with our children today, the way our parents dealt with us, is such a big change, no? Yes, the way we are constantly now engaging with our children and helping them, so much change is there and so much change is required. And so that's also constantly changing. Our body surely is changing every day. So everything in the acquired self is changing. And if I base my experience of happiness, of joy, of success, of growth, only on the acquired, what happens? What happens? Yes. And so as soon as there's a change and there's something different coming up, I'm not going to be able to feel as happier. Or I'm not going to be able to feel that, you know, yes, I've been acknowledged or appreciated. Because something new comes up which is more important now. Someone else's role becomes more important in the organization, and so I feel neglected. And so if I base my sense of happiness on the acquired, that's where the challenge is coming. And so it's so important for me to experience that the innate is the master, so that I base my experience of growth, joy, experience on the innate. Now when we talk about the innate, it's very clear. When we see ourselves as a human being, we find the word human comes from humus, which means matter, soil. And so we can see this physical body as a very, very valuable gift from the divine. And we see that this being which connects with the spiritual energy, which we call as a soul, spirit, ruha, different languages. And so when we call ourselves as a human being, we understand these two aspects. Now, from morning to night, how much time have I invested to become more aware of the acquired? How much time have I invested to be more aware of the innate, to take care of them, to take care of the acquired or take care of the innate, to nurture that, to replenish its energies, to empower it? If I check both of these aspects, most of our time goes where? Where have we invested most of our time and energy? At the acquired. Yes. How much time in our daily life have we been able to invest in experiencing the innate, understanding the innate, empowering it, nurturing it, replenishing it? And so we find that as much less time we invest in sustaining it and nurturing it, we find the empowerment of energy will be accordingly. And so we can see this imbalance, where at the physical level, I feel more stronger and maybe I'm more aware of that 24/7. But at the spiritual level, the inner being intellectually is understood by us. We understand about the soul, but the experience is either very less or missing. Do you feel that? Yes, 24/7. How many moments am I aware of myself as this being? Yes, as the energy? Yes, we check. What do we realize? Are we aware of it? No. As information, yes. We understand, we know. But at the awareness level, what has happened is, we have more programmed ourselves to be only aware of ourselves at the external level, the acquired level. And so throughout the day, whenever I'm using the word I, it's connected to the acquired. It's connected to everything which is actually my. And the awareness of I, that is this beautiful being of light, is somewhere missing. Now, what has been its impact on my day-to-day level then? Every time I'm connecting with people, I'm connecting with situations, I'm dealing with things, we find that the awareness is only of the I. And that we find is constantly changing. And so subtly, there have been other personality traits which have become a part of our personality, which we will explore in future. Now, why is it important for us to remain in the awareness of the I? And how can I do it? So we understand, yes, it's important, but how can we do it? So first of all, let us understand with more clarity. Some of you could have done this course also before, but let's again revise it. And so when we understand with clarity, we find the relationship of the inner being, of the soul, with the body is just like a car and a driver. So the driver sitting in the car, when you are driving your car, you are always aware that you are separate from the car and you are in control. Yes? It's important, no? When you're sitting in your own car in the driving seat, it's important for you to feel in control, because that's the way in which you can maneuver the whole vehicle. And that's the way in which you can make your journey safe. So you're aware that you're separate from the car. You're sitting in the driving seat. You're managing. You're in control. Every step in driving the car will be your choice. Yes? You're aware of that? Yes. In the same way, I, the soul, is a spiritual driver which is seated in the driving seat, and it's separate from the body, the car. And every thought, word and karma which I'm performing is whose choice? Is I, the soul's choice. I am choosing. I'm choosing what I think. I'm choosing what I say. I'm choosing what I do. I choose how I use my physical sense organs. So some of you are sitting here and surely you're listening to the interaction. You're with me. But In a second, if you have remembered someone back home, what has happened? Your mind has traveled there. Yes? Yes? So your eyes are open, but you're not seeing what is in front of you. You're there, where you have moved, you know, through your mind. And so we find just in a second also, I, the being of light, I, the soul, choose whether to see from the physical eyes or not, whether to hear or not. You're remembering something else? You're not listening to what is being shared here. So throughout the day, the soul is in control, is in charge. That's the connection which we have with our physical body. Now, this beautiful being of light, which we call as Atma, we call it spirit or maybe energy, Ruha. When we talk about it, we find that till now we always said the soul or my soul. But the reality is that I am this being of light and the body belongs to me. So whenever we use the word soul, it is I, the soul, which is using this body, which is my body. Then through this body, I have relationships, I work, my achievements and so many things. But it's I, this beautiful being of light. Now, like we saw that it is a driver, so it has a seat, driving seat. Where am I seated? Where do you think the soul is seated? Till now, whatever we have been maybe feeling or understanding. So many of us would have felt that yes, it's somewhere in the forehead, or some of us would have felt it's somewhere in the heart, because many people feel it's there, because there's where we can feel and have all the experiences. But this seat, the driving seat of this being of light, is in the midst of our brain. So if actually we see where it's actually seated, they say that if you have maybe a pipe which can go in the middle of our head up there, a pipe there, and here in the forehead in the middle, where these two pipes will meet, that's the space near the pituitary glands, near the hypothalamus, where the being of light, where this beautiful energy is seated. So I, the being of light, is seated in the midst of the forehead, behind the eyes. There is this space where I am, where even medical scientists say that that's the space which cannot be touched even during a surgery. And so I, the soul, seated there, I am able to control the whole body. Just like as when you're seated in your car, you're seated there in the driving seat and you're in charge of the whole car. So if maybe you want to go reverse or you want to do something else, do you need to come out of the car and then do something? No. You have your means of control. You're seated there, you can reverse the car. You're seated there, you understand that there's some problem in the tire there, or maybe you have a flat tire, or there's some other problem. So in the same way, the soul has this beautiful means of control through which the soul is able to be in charge of the entire body. Take care, maneuver, work through the entire body. So at a physical level, we have much more understanding of how it controls. We have the brain, we have the nervous system, we have all our physical sense organs. And so we understand that. But what happens at a spiritual level, the soul? What are the faculties of the soul? That's what we will see. So when we talk about I being the soul, which is the master of the physical body and the self, Raj Yoga meditation slowly helps me to become in charge of my sense organs, which many times in different spiritual philosophies have been talked about, winning over your sense organs. Vikarma Indriya Jeet Banna. And so till now we thought that it's very difficult. It's nearly impossible. Either you leave your daily life, which is full of responsibilities and changes and, you know, challenges and emotions, and you become a saint, then maybe you can gain victory over your sense organs. Or maybe that's not possible. Some of us thought that. But we find that because slowly, slowly, with Rajyoga meditation, when it becomes a part of my lifestyle, I, the soul, feels more in control of my own self, of my own body, then I start becoming the master. That is, I start experiencing the power to channelize my sense organs. Rather than using the word control, the better word is channelizing. Because when we use the word control, it means like suppressing. And suppression is something which we don't really appreciate. We don't like, none of us like. And so we feel it's impossible and is it needed. But with regular practice of meditation, you start becoming the one who can channelize your sense organs. And so they become much more in control or as a support system to you. Now, what exactly is the faculties of the soul by which the soul is able to, at a day-to-day level, control the body? The first faculty, which we have used the word many, many times, is called the mind. The second faculty, the intellect. Again, we use this word many times. And the third faculty is the sanskars. Sanskars also, I think, is a word we've used many times, which we can call as personality traits, memories, our experiences. And so we find, let us try to slowly discover each faculty and see how we can use this faculty with our own choice. How Rajyoga meditation helps us to use each faculty with our own choice. The three faculties, so the mind is a creative faculty. So all the creativity which is there, done by us throughout our day, is the mind. Creating thoughts, feelings, emotions, ideas, and so many other things. So it's a creative faculty. Maybe if you see at an organizational level, it's like the production unit of the self. The second is the faculty of the intellect, which is more like the processing faculty. So our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions are being processed. Whether we need to keep that thought, whether we need to implement that thought, our feelings, our analysis, our reasoning, all that is the processing. And the third is, once we have finished our karma, every karma which we are performing throughout the day, which slowly we've experienced that our thoughts are also karma, slowly, slowly they are impacting our daily life in the form of our personality traits. And that's the third faculty. Now, throughout the day we are thinking. The mind, the powerful faculty, creative faculty, is thinking. And accordingly we have some brain waves which are being created. So they say that as soon as normal activity level, when we are creating, we are a little concerned about things, we are a little worried also many times at workplace. And so throughout the day, whether it's work or family, and so we are in that state of beta waves. And whenever we are able to calm ourselves down by any relaxation technique, meditation technique, when we are ourselves in a more lighter state of mind, we feel light, we are happy, we are relaxed, we come to the stage of alpha state. And in sleep, when we are in that deep sleep, we are in alpha state. And maybe some of you would have read about this, you know. So many times for meditative state of mind, they use the word alpha state of mind. Have you heard this word before? So it's that calm state of mind. And there's been a lot of research done where if you are able to be in an alpha state consciously, awareness, then your IQ increases, your memory increases. There's been a lot of research on that. And so with meditation, Rajyoga meditation, we allow ourselves to experience this alpha state in our daily activity. Today what happens, as soon as we come into an alpha state of mind, what happens is that we go to sleep. Because it's that brain wave which we enjoy just before we sleep, you know. Where we feel that now that train of sleep has come and now We feel relaxed and then we get disconnected from everywhere around us. So many times when people first attempt in the beginning meditation, they feel sleepy. Yes, some of you feel sleepy when you meditate, yes. Because first of all, we are a little sleep starved also. Quality of sleep is not so good. And also because of, you know, experiencing this alpha state. But slowly, slowly, you will be able to experience alpha waves or this state of mind, this calm, relaxed state of mind when you are conscious. So that throughout the day you are able to be relaxed, easy, light, and yet available for work and alert. Now there are four type of thoughts which we are creating. Generally, four type of thoughts. We understand two type of thoughts very easily. Positive and negative. Yes, we understand. Yes, we understand our feelings also. We know when we are in positive thoughts what happens and when we are in negative thoughts what happens. The other two thoughts are waste thoughts and fourth is ordinary thoughts. Now maybe we'll take an example. Just before you came here, you have been invited for this program, IT retreat, and maybe it's a center, maybe a friend, someone or the other invited you, and you have with a lot of difficulty created this time for yourself because so many other things must have been more important, but yet you created this time, you have traveled. And so now maybe you have boarded your train, flight, whatever is the journey, mode of journey which you have come. And you know now you are going to reach after some time and attend this program. Now what could be a positive thought which could have you could have created before you came for the program? What could be a positive thought? I will learn something. Yes. Any other positive thought? It's going to be very useful for me. Yes. I will reset myself, okay. Yes. New experience. I'm going to enjoy this new experience, yes. Okay. So, we have some positive thoughts. What could be a negative thought? I know you would have not had many. But it some of could. What could be a negative thought? Yeah, I'll be wasting my 4 days. I'm sure about it. I was forced because of maybe someone, my friend or this colleague or maybe my life partner who insisted we have to go, I'm going to waste my time. Or any other negative thought, that could be easier, no? Yes? Lot of work is already pending, it will be more pressure, yes? I'm not making money and I'm wasting my life. Yes. So many. Yes. What could be a waste thought? Now we need to understand the difference between negative and waste. Okay? Let's give me a try. I don't know whether I'll understand these things, you know. Spirituality has always been over my head, you know, because they all speak abstract, you know. So, yeah, will I achieve anything? Yes. Any other waste thought? Will I be able to concentrate? Kaise uthenge? Wo to bilkul mushkil hai aur impossible aur zarurat bhi nahi hai. Pata nahi kyun ye add kar lete hain. Haan, 10 baje to sona hi mushkil hai. Hamari to dinacharya shuru us samay hoti hai. Vista. Haan. Is sattvic food bahut difficult hoga. Yes. And ordinary? Ordinary would be routine. So then, okay, maybe, okay, if I'm traveling by flight, okay, if I'm reaching maybe Udaipur or Ahmedabad, then I have to take this car, I've maybe called up and already arranged, and then I'll reach here, and then maybe by this time I'll reach, then I'll contact this person, they would have taken my accommodation, I'll register. Routine, okay, your routine activities. So now you understand the difference between the four. Now maybe we take a moment and check, maybe in the week before you came from here to the complex, before you reached here, are most of our thoughts are in which category? Take some time to think and check. We have to be true to ourselves, because then only we will be able to bring about those necessary changes in at least our thought, you know, which someone has said, reset. At least we begin that, you know, different way of thinking, dealing. Waste thoughts are more. Yes? Pending things, yes. So waste thoughts and a lot of negative thoughts also. After some time, these waste thoughts come into negative thoughts also about someone. Why did he do this? He should have not done. He's always like that. He never supports, you know. So immediately after some time, we start creating some negative thoughts. And even in ordinary thoughts, maybe some of us would feel it's okay, but most of our thoughts are ordinary. It's work-oriented. You're right. But what has happened is very easily, waste thoughts have entered our ordinary thoughts. Now, I need to begin this session, and so I need to keep this light changer with me. So I think, no, I should keep it this side, because maybe that will be easier for me. But then maybe it will be difficult, so I should keep it here. But then I could just, you know, it could just move, you know, drop down. So maybe I should keep it there. But then I should keep it on my lap. That will be more easier for me. Or maybe just here. That will not be seen. So how many thoughts I need to keep just the slight changer here? One. And how many I created? So many. So all those extra thoughts are waste thoughts. So even for my routine activity, when I just need one, I create so many. Yes. If I check every thought. And so we find that so many of our waste thoughts are merged in our ordinary day-to-day routine thinking. And we feel, oh, it's just routine. It's important. And many of that is waste. So we are very busy, but with what? So we are busy, we are taking pressure, but we are concerned, we are involved, we are engaged, but with what? And so it's so important for us to check. And what Raja Yoga meditation helps us to do is, through our meditation and through the daily spiritual study which we learn, because we see it as a university. Prajapita Brahma Kumaris Ishwari Vishwavidyalaya. It's a university where we learn spiritual insight to be applied in our daily life every day. Even we are students only. Every day we are learning. So we find that what we learn every day is, how do I change those negative into positive, waste into positive, and ordinary into positive also. And so slowly and slowly we start changing the way the mind works, the way the mind deals with situations. So we reprogramming the mind. So very subtly it's a reprogramming of the mind, and which helps us then that slowly and slowly positive thinking becomes more natural to me. Now we find that we are as we think, yes? And many of our other sessions will explore that, how our thoughts have so much of power. They impact us at a day-to-day level. Sankalps is siddhi. And so if I am able to change my thoughts, you know, maybe change the way my mind works, it becomes much, much impactful, and it makes things much more easier. When I'm using my innate virtues, my inner qualities, my original nature in my thoughts, then it's positive thoughts. When I'm using my weaknesses, a little bit of anger, a little bit of ego, some fear, some anxiety, some worry, some insecurity, some, you know, little jealousy, and I'm using these weaknesses in my day-to-day interactions and my thoughts, and so I find those are those negative thoughts, worrying about the past or the future, waste thoughts, my mundane activity. But we find that slowly, slowly we have allowed those waste thoughts to be accepted as mundane activity. If I'm able to see them as waste thoughts, I'll change. Because none of us would like to waste our time. But what happens is that we have allowed those waste thoughts to remain as a accepted as a routine thoughts. Ye to hona hi hai, ye to sochna hi padega na. Itna to chalega hi na man. Itni to chinta karni padegi na. Kaam hai to chinta to karni padegi. Chintan karna hai, chinta karni hai. We have to think, but have I to worry? But it's so subtle. We sit down to think. Chintan karne baithte hain, lekin chintan se chinta mein kahan chale jate hain? Wo pata hi nahi padta hai. We don't realize when we have shifted towards worrying. And that's what we will try to see and change. And so we find the other faculty which is very, very connected. All these three faculties are connected is the intellect. And when this faculty is wise, we say we're an intellectual. Intellectual person. This person is very intelligent. And so this faculty is a faculty which is more like a filter to the mind. So throughout the day there are so many thoughts. Hum sochte hain. But so many of those thoughts, which of those thoughts am I implementing? Soch samajh kar karm karna hai. We say we need to think, we need to understand and then we need to practice. To sochna the mind does, samajhna, what should I do, what should I not do, if I implement this thought, what is going to be the impact in my future, in my present. All this reasoning is done by the intellect. So the intellect is the processing faculty, the intellect is more like a filter. Like every day morning, we make our cup of tea or coffee, we use our filter. Yes? Now what happens if the filter has a few holes, which we have not been able to see? Yep, little holes. We are making our tea and coffee, what happens? And all that coffee powder, all that tea leaves, they enter our cup and we don't enjoy. In the same way we find our intellect very subtly is overpowered by our anger. So it's like a hole in that filter. And as soon as it is overpowered by anger, what happens to the functioning of the intellect? Yes, it's our experience, no? What happens? Yeah, it's power to reason, it's power to, understand, it's capability to discriminate, decide, all that is very low. And sometimes it just finishes. And every day, I'm sure we hear about all these things in social media. The intellect being overpowered by anger, overpowered by fear, overpowered by hopelessness, overpowered by lust, and we see the results, what is happening. And we find that this doesn't really need to be connected with how much this person has achieved in its organization, how much this person has degrees of information or education. And yet we find that when the intellect is overpowered by any of these negative tendencies, we stop functioning. They're not able to take right decisions. Yes? And so it's so important for us to allow the intellect to be free from the, to be able to be free from the power or the overpowering of these weaknesses. So how can I make the intellect more divine so that it's always overpowered or influenced by my original nature? So either it's influenced by anger or it's influenced by patience, calmness, forgiveness, tolerance. Yes? And so how do I shift? How do I make the intellect wise? How do I make it more powerful? How do I make it more clean? Yes? And so that is how very subtly, slowly, every day with meditation and the spiritual study, we cleanse the intellect. You make it more wiser in each area. How do I deal with relationships? How do I remain happy? So today we find we are better informed. We are, having those years of experience of contributing in our field. Surely we have this wonderful list of maybe our educational qualifications, which are very, very important for us to contribute and help society. But if I don't have the wisdom to remain happy, what happens? I could be a very good professional, I could be a very good in my work, wherever I am, that position, but I'm not able to be happy. That wisdom is missing. I'm not able to remain calm. I'm not able to sustain and nurture my self-esteem. And we find that this wisdom, when it's missing, we find we're not able to even contribute even through the other education and information and achievements and understanding which we have. We're not able to contribute so much. And so we find it's so important for us to allow the intellect to be more divine, more wiser, spiritually also. So every day in our spiritual study, we have this enhancement of spiritual wisdom. That wisdom which helps us in my daily interactions and, the way I handle people and situations. And so we find every day with meditation, we are able to visualize better, we're able to understand, we're able to reason out, take decisions. And what we call very beautifully is that the intellect becomes Trikaldarshi. Maybe when we use this word Trikaldarshi, you'll feel it's a little complicated word because it's from maybe the word Sanskrit or Hindi or spirituality. But it's something which you're doing every day. Trikaldarshi means knowing the three phases of time together. The past, present and future. So every time you have taken a decision as a leader, what have you done? You have gone to your past experiences, seen what you have done there, learned from that, then seen the present, whatever decision you want to take, you have gone into the future and seen what is going to be the impact, present and future, what's going to be the impact, visualize that, and then you have come back and taken that decision in the present. Yes? Yes. And so this is what is called as being Trikaldarshi. Being able to move through all the three phases of time together. So I move in the past. So constantly I'm able to move in the past and learn from that. Not remain in the past. So if I remain in the past, then what happens? The intellect overcome by fear, anxiety. If I remain in the future, then what happens? Again, there's worry. What will happen? Will I be able to achieve? Will it work? Will it work? And just remaining in the present sometimes could be a disaster because I'm not taking care of what could happen in the future. So what happens is that with meditation, I'm able to slowly, slowly allow myself always to remain together in all three phases of time. But what's most beautiful through Rajyoga meditation is I'm able to connect my intellect with the higher wisdom, the Supreme Father. Buddhi ko buddhivano ki buddhi se jod sakte. And through Raj Yoga, when I connect my intellect with the higher wisdom, what happens is I'm able to absorb His wisdom. The Supreme Intellect guides me, gives me the right understanding, helps me to take the right decision at the right time, which in our language we call as intuition. Yes? We have all had this experience, intuition, gut feeling, yes? Yes, all of you have had this experience, yes? Someone very beautifully has said the dictionary meaning of intuition is direct access to truth without the support of facts. And so how do I really understand what has to be done? And somewhere it's very, very simple. And through meditation regularly, there is this beautiful relationship which we develop with the higher self, with the Supreme Parent, with our Supreme Father, with our guide. And so we allow His wisdom to guide me. It's very simple and easy. As parents, where you must be so involved in so many responsibilities at work, and you would be in very, very busy in a very important meeting. And yet when you're in the meeting, you find that the phone is ringing and it's your child, your son or your daughter. And so naturally you allow it to ring, you can't pick it up because you are in the midst of a presentation. And yet, as soon as in the meeting, things are relaxed, the tea comes in, what will you do? You'll take a moment, you'll go out and call. Why will you call? Why do you need to call? It's wanted, but why? Child, yes, you love your child, the bond is there, you are also responsible for your child. You're responsible. There could be some other calls which you will keep pending. Okay, I'll call after the meeting is over. But the child you will need to call immediately. Just to understand what's there. And then if there's something more which you need to discuss, you'll say, okay, I'll do it after the meeting. Yes? And so in the same way, we share that loving bond with our Supreme Parent. And through meditation, every time we connect with the Supreme with love, what happens? There is a response. And just like you feel responsible to guide your children, He becomes responsible for us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to support us. And so it becomes so much more easier in today's environment, which is so unpredictable, which is so chaotic, to constantly experience this guidance from the Supreme. And then we find that at daily level, with this guidance, this experience, we find it becomes so easy and comfortable. Every decision which I am taking, I am performing some karma. So either I am getting angry or I am remaining peaceful. Either I am supporting someone or I choose not to support. So whatever is my karma, even my thoughts are karma, my words are karma, my actions are karma. And so what happens at each of this karma is slowly and slowly reinforcing my personality traits. And then the impressions which are being created. These impressions which we call as sanskars, a bank of our memories, our maybe behavioral patterns, the way we have been dealing with people and situations, all those become our sanskars, which many times we use this word nature. Yes? Sometimes when we get angry somewhere, we say, Mera bhav nahi tha, Mera swabhav hai. Don't worry, it's not really, I didn't mean it, it's just my nature. I just get irritated very easily. So it's my nature. Yes, we say that? Yes? But now we have understood that what is our true nature? Our true nature is given to us by the Divine. So our true nature is very, very beautiful. I am a peaceful soul. So as soon as I create this thought also, then I'm a peaceful soul. Many times you have heard the word Om Shanti here, no? It's being used as a greeting also. And I'm sure you, someone would have shared the meaning of Om Shanti as I am a peaceful soul. Om I, and peace is my original nature. Now, many times we have had thoughts which are connected to peace. So I've had this thought many times, I should not get angry. I should not be so aggressive. Yes? I should not lose my temper. I should be more peaceful. I should remain calm. Yes? These thoughts have come? Yeah, many times. Every day sometimes. And this thought that I am a peaceful soul, which is more easier? Which is more easier? I am a peaceful soul. Which is more, it really helps me or it gives me more a good feeling. Yes, I need to be peaceful. I should be peaceful. I should not get angry. And the thought that I am a peaceful soul, which gives me more satisfaction, makes me more feel more good. I am a peaceful soul. Because when I say I'm a peaceful soul, I am connecting to this awareness that peace is my original nature. But when I say I need to be peaceful, that means I am not peaceful. I am an angry person. I need to be peaceful. So originally what I'm thinking about myself is not so good. I need to be peaceful. That means I'm not so peaceful. I am an angry person. So again I go back to the awareness of my acquired self about those sanskar which I have acquired. So I'm reminding myself again and again. Now very beautifully they have said that where attention goes, energy flows. Where energy flows, it grows. Yes, you've heard about this theory, no? Where attention goes, energy flows. Where energy flows, it grows. Jahan bhi dhyan kendrit hota hai, urja ka sanchar hota hai. Wahan uska vikas hota hai. So every time I give energy to this awareness that I am a peaceful soul, energy flows there and it keeps growing. But every time I remind myself I should be peaceful, I should not get angry, my attention is going towards the awareness that I am a angry person, I get irritated very easily, I am not so peaceful. And so that sanskara is growing. Yes? And so we shift our awareness through Raj Yoga to this experience that I am a peaceful soul. I am a pure soul. As a child of the ocean of purity, I am a pure soul. So when this awareness is that I am a pure soul, what happens? There is this very deep level of self-esteem. I'm pure originally. That's my innate nature. I'm a pure soul, honest, integrity, trustworthy. I am a pure soul. I am a loving soul. I'm a caring soul, loving soul. So I have unconditional love for myself, for others. Yes? A compassion, care, understanding for everyone. So I'm a loving soul. I am a wise soul. So it's not that I just know things, but also I am practicing it in my daily life. So I'm a wise soul. Application of knowledge, application of wisdom. So I know a lot, but what I'm doing, is there a gap? Is there a gap? Yes? You think there's a gap? A lot of things I know, I speak about, I guide my children. Yes? Younger siblings, our colleagues, our teammates. I have a lot of information and insight. I'm talking about it. What am I doing? Important for me to check. And so the gap, I have to lessen that gap. I'm a wise soul. I am a powerful soul. I have courage, strength. And so this awareness gives me, reconnects to my inner resources. All those wonderful resources, talent, competencies which the Divine has filled within me as gifts. I am a powerful soul. I am a happy soul. So that immense experience of gratitude. Yes. If I have this list of those things which God has, the Divine has given us, what happens? How will be the list? Small or big? Small or big? Yeah, now we are so, full of gratitude to the Divine to give us this opportunity to come here. So this is also, because so many people were invited, yes, but you have reached. So this is also a blessing. And so that experience of constant happiness, of enjoying every moment, full of gratitude and happiness. So I'm a happy soul. I am a blissful soul. The seventh value or the seventh quality of the soul, which is more like a state of mind. I'm a blissful soul. So the soul innate is these beautiful virtues. That is why spiritually the soul is said to be Atma Sato Pradhan hai. In Sato Guno mein Pradhan hai 100%. And so this is my true nature. This is what I am. And what has happened is, because this is what I am, this is what I am seeking for. Yes? This is what I am seeking for. Yes, we want to be peaceful, we want to be relaxed, which we call, you know, in our words, we need to chill or we need to be cool. Yes? So that is coming from the innate nature of peace. I need love, I need care, and that's why today people are constantly moving on in different relationships. This relationship not working, that not this. Seeking for love. Seeking for comfort, yes, because that's my true nature. But I'm unable to give myself love. Yes? So when I'm a loveful soul, the first person I should love is whom? Myself, yes. I love myself as I am. I accept myself as I am. I'm happy being myself. And so we find that because of lack of self-love, then we are seeking for that love in relationships. Third, we find that purity. So that experience that I am pure is not there, and so low self-esteem is there. I am a wise soul, and so that wisdom, that experience of being able to apply everything is not there, and so I'm not able to see the practical benefits of knowing so many things in our life. That experience that I'm a powerful soul is not there, and so small little situations, there are fear. This fear creeps in within. Where I know I've done this before, and yet that anxiety and fear is there within. And we can see it, especially with children nowadays in exams and so many areas, unknowingly. And the person consciously is also not aware why he is getting fearful, why is he feeling this anxiety, but it's there. I am a happy soul. And so, you know, we feel so low and depressed, which we don't understand why. Everything is working well. I have everything. Relationships are working. Work is doing well. And yet I don't feel happy. I don't feel good. I feel so low. Yes? So we find that because I'm disconnected with my nature today, I'm not able to experience that naturally. But this is my natural nature. Just like the body, what I physically am, I physically need. So more than food, we need water. Because the body is more than 75% water. Yes, nearly 80% water. Yes. In the same way, this is what I am. That is why I need this. And when I'm able to experience this and empower each nature, each quality within me, I remain healthy. Because these virtues, these qualities are also nurturing my body. Because it's a soul which is nurturing the body. Atma sharir ko chala rahi hai. And so let us for a few moments experience these virtues, yes? Because we find that we have been able to understand them. But let's experience them as our true nature, yes? And so when we talk about meditation, it's those moments which we spend talking to ourselves. So the best posture, if you want, when you're sitting in meditation, is a little erect, a little alert. Your hands could be on your lap, your feet are grounded. Rajyoga meditation is practiced as open-eyed meditation. But yet in the beginning, if you feel you get distracted when your eyes are open, you can close them. But slowly and slowly, try to keep your eyes open and practice this meditation, because then it will become easy when you go back home, because there you are constantly involved in work. If you are keeping your eyes open, you can allow them to be stable in front of you, maybe in any image in front, any place in front where you can just allow your vision to rest. I will give you a few thoughts. Just allow your mind to move in that journey. Now, when I was asking you to remember your children, your child, you remembered your child, you could also see your child? Yes? Yes. So your mind created the thought, my child, there was a feeling of love, and you visualized the child. So how did you visualize the child? Physically the child is not there, so not your physical eyes are not visualizing, but it's the eye of the intellect, jisko hum man ki aankhein kehte, the inner eye. So the mind creates a thought, feels it, and the intellect will visualize it. We have been using the intellect for visualization in our work. Let's use it for meditation also. As I allow myself to be comfortable, I take this journey within. For some time, let me visualize myself seated here alone in this beautiful environment of peace, of silence. I enjoy being myself. Through my mind's eye, as I see myself, I see this body, which now I have discovered to be my physical identity. And yet now, I recognize this beautiful light seated between the forehead, just behind the eyes. I, the being of light, through my mind's eye, I create this image of a beautiful star, a shining star, radiating peace and calmness around me. Through my mind's eye, let me see this beautiful being of light, radiating the light of peace. And as I feel calm and peaceful within, I recognize that this is my true nature. I am a being of peace, a being of light, separate from my body, and yet the master. Seated between the forehead. And as I see myself, I see this radiant energy, radiating peace, love. And strength all around me. As I am seated here, I remember my family, my loved ones back home, and yet now I see them as beautiful points of light. I see this beautiful energy between their foreheads and see them as peaceful souls. I send the vibration of love, of peace, to each member of my family. I shift my awareness to my work as my family, the company, the office where I'm working. And as I see my colleagues, I see the light between the forehead. They are also peaceful souls, my brother souls. I send the vibration of love, of respect, of happiness to each one of them. Recognize that the entire world is my family. I see the entire globe, different cultures, languages, colors, and yet I see the light between the forehead. everyone as a being of light, a peaceful soul, a child of the Supreme Parent, my family. And I send this vibration of peace, of good wishes, of hope, of strength to the entire world. Feeling light, feeling peaceful, my heart full of good wishes, I gently come back. I come back to the awareness of this hall where I am sitting. I come back to the awareness of my own self. If my eyes are closed, I can open them. I become aware of my friends who are seated around me. And yet I feel so light, so peaceful, full of love and good wishes for everyone. Om Shanti.